I would like to turn your attention tonight for a few minutes to the Word of God, to the Gospel of John, a familiar passage and one that gives great hope for us. And could I just be up front, in addition to a burden for the Dixon family, I have a special burden for everyone here who's under 30 years of age. It's not that I don't care about everyone else, I do. But I have a special burden for the youth, for the young adults. And I trust that God will use his word in all of our hearts tonight to strengthen us, to encourage us, to point us to this, that in Jesus we can be satisfied. Amen. The title of these thoughts summarized in this, No Longer Thirsty. No longer thirsty. Jesus satisfies the longings of the human heart. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the touch of your grace, your spirit, to change our hearts, to satisfy our hearts. And Lord, we thank you that at a time like this, we can know the sufficiency that is in Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray that you will take your word, that you will bring comfort to the entire Dixon family and all the relatives. And we pray, Father, that you will show all of us that life is short and we must prepare now for eternity. So we thank you, Lord, for what you will do from your word, by your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. When we look death squarely in the face, it reminds us, like no other time in life, that we need Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ was a people person. He meets people at their point of need. In his earthly ministry on this earth, we see many of his interactions with people in their suffering, in their grief, in their sin, and in their pain. He understands. He understands. There is nothing better that we could do than to turn to him tonight and to his word at this time. Because we see him in the pages of Scripture, and we need him. And I'd like us to look at a conversation that Jesus had with a needy woman. I would like to answer this question. How did Jesus satisfy the heart longings, the spiritual thirst of this woman? And I'd like to suggest five answers to that question. In John chapter 4, verse 7, we see this. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" How does Jesus satisfy the heart longings of human beings? First of all, he paid attention to this lady. He paid attention to her. He noticed her. Have you ever been at the mall, the store, at the bus stop, in the subway? Have you been in any of those places and people are all around you, but no one is noticing you? I want to say, Jesus pays attention to individuals. Jesus noticed her, and he got her attention. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ cares about you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He cares about you. The songwriter said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And the Apostle Peter said, "Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you." For every single one of us here, he knows our deepest needs. and he knows that he is the answer to our needs. Whether it's for forgiveness of sins, and we all have that need, whether as a believer we're going through time of grief and sorrow and unbearable pain, he understands. He knows our deepest needs. How did he satisfy the heart longings of this woman? He paid attention to her. And let me tell you, my friend, you matter to God. You matter to God. You're not an accident on planet Earth. You're here by God's divine plan, and you matter to him. He paid attention to this woman. The second way that I see that he satisfied her heart longings is this: he cared more about her needs than his reputation. In this verse, the woman is amazed that Jesus, a Jewish man, would talk to her. You see, the Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. There was all kinds of bias and prejudice and animosity between these two groups. And one looked down on the other. They didn't get along. And not only that, but men didn't talk to women like this in public. And so Jesus had her attention, and she says, "How is it? You being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." You see, Jesus cared more about her needs than about his reputation. He violated cultural expectations. He was politically and culturally incorrect, but spiritually he was right on. He was selfless. He looked beyond this woman's nationality, her ethnicity, and he saw her need. And you see, the text tells us earlier that he was going from Jerusalem to Galilee. He was going north. And there is a route that is pretty much straight north, but Jesus veered off a little to the west, and it says he had to go to Samaria. Why did he have to go there? Because of this woman. That's why. Now, wait a minute. When I think about how he paid attention to her need more than his own reputation, I have to pause. Why did he put up with shame, disgrace, being humiliated in front of a crowd? Why did he put up with mockery, with scorn, with being spat upon, with being whipped and nailed to a Roman cross as a criminal when he was innocent? Why? Because he was caring for your deepest spiritual needs and mine. You see, on that cruel cross, he bore my sins and yours and the sin of the world on himself as the only acceptable sacrifice for our sins. He fulfilled the justice of God the Father, and he demonstrated the love of God to sinners. He totally put aside his own reputation as Son of the Highest, as the God-man. He laid that aside, and he died for you and for me. There's a little statute that says, "I asked Jesus, how much do you love me?" And he stretched out his arms and died. You see, he was more concerned for our deep spiritual need than his own reputation. He who created the sun, moon, and stars and caused the forest to grow was humbled by sinful human beings and nailed to a cross made out of a tree that he created. That's the ultimate of humiliation, but that's how he cares and meets our deepest spiritual need. He cared more about your needs and my needs than his own reputation. Jesus is the one who can satisfy our heart longings for meaning, for purpose, and he can satisfy us. There's a third way that I see that he satisfied the heart longings of this woman. He offered her something better than what she had. You see, they were at a well, and Jesus spoke to her, and he said, "Whoever drinks of this water," meaning the water from the well, physical water, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." She was thinking about physical, earthly water, actual water, and Jesus was speaking about spiritual, life-giving water. In John chapter 7, we find these wonderful words. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" What a tremendous invitation. If you're thirsty, he says, come to me and drink. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." The Lord Jesus Christ offers the Spirit of God to come and live inside us and indwell us and meet our deepest needs. He offered to her something better than what she had. And my friend, can I say very simply, if you're here tonight and you've not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus is much better than whatever you're holding on to. He's much better than whatever you could possibly trust in. If you're holding on to some religious figure, you're holding on to some religious activity, you're holding on to some worldly pleasure, and you think, this is what's important to me, Jesus has something much better than anything that you could possibly or I could possibly have. He offered her something better than what she had. And sweet Dixon family, it's already been a testimony to us, your confidence in the Lord, your trust, your faith, something that people in the world may not understand, but it's because of the Spirit of God in you and the strength of the Lord in you, and because you have been satisfied in Christ, he will continue to carry you through and to satisfy you. But then I see, fourthly, what Jesus so gently and wonderfully did in a conversation with this woman to satisfy those deep heart longings that she had. He gently pointed out her deepest spiritual need. At this point, she only thought her need was physical water from the well. But Jesus points out so kindly and gently, but yet with great conviction, her need. It seems like he's changing the subject, and in a way he is. In verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You've well said, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." What does this have to do with drawing water from the well? It shows the master teacher turning the conversation to indicate her spiritual thirst, her spiritual need, her spiritual longing. You see, in her case, she had tried to find satisfaction in relationships. She'd had five husbands and now another man, and it wasn't working. She was spiritually thirsty and wanting. May I say that people look in a lot of places to meet their deepest needs. They turn to alcohol, drugs, work, pleasure, sports, money, relationships, sex, fame. And even if one tries all of those things, they still come up thirsty and hungry in the depths of their souls. Because of this, we have in us a God-shaped vacuum, and only Jesus can fill it. Only Jesus can fill it. Our sins make us empty before a holy and righteous God. Jesus will make us full and fulfilled. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. He points out her deepest spiritual need. There is no buzz, no high, no party, no promotion, no pleasure that compares with knowing Jesus Christ. And the fifth truth that I see here, Jesus led her to himself. You see the progression in the passage. Jesus spoke to her when he had said, give me a drink. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Think of this. Who it is who says to you. He was talking about himself, but he had not yet identified himself to her. And the woman said in verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? And she becomes historical. Are you greater than our esteemed patriarch Jacob? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. But he didn't say that yet. In verse 19, the woman said, are you a prophet? In verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming. That is the Christ, the anointed one. And then Jesus opens the door. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And literally it's this, I am the one who speaks to you. You see, that's highly significant in John's gospel because Jesus is known as the great I am. Jesus says in chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. And seven times in the gospel, Jesus combines a wonderful declaration with this formula that's a formula for being God. I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I satisfy spiritual hunger. I am the light of the world. I dispel spiritual darkness. I am the door. I am the way to heaven. I'm the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Jesus led her to himself, is the great I am, the one who could satisfy her deepest spiritual needs. He can be our all in all. He is all we need to be fulfilled in life and in death. The Apostle Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Pastor Kong mentioned this. Death is certain for everyone. It is appointed unto man once to die. And who makes the appointment, my friends? It's the God of the Bible. I invite you to come to the great I am and be satisfied for eternity. And listen to one more verse. In verse 42, the woman has embraced the Lord Jesus as Savior. She goes to her village. The Samaritans believe in the Lord Jesus. And many more believe because of Jesus' words. In verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Could I ask you a personal spiritual question? Can you say that Jesus is your Savior? Can you say, He is my Savior? I have believed in Him. How did Jesus satisfy the heart longings? How did He quench the spiritual thirst of this woman? And how does He quench our spiritual thirst? Jesus pays attention to us. He cares more about our needs than His reputation. He made Himself of no reputation and died for us. He offers us something better than anything we could possibly have. He gently points out our needs, our deepest spiritual needs, and Jesus leads us through His word to Himself. That's how the longings of our heart can be satisfied. If you tonight have not yet believed in Jesus, I urge you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what do I do? You understand your need. You understand that vacuum that's in your heart. You understand that you've looked in the wrong places for fulfillment. Then you come to Jesus and you tell Him that. You understand your need, that you have sinned before God. You say, God, I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again the third day. And call on the Lord. And the promise is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If I could change the events of December 8th, 2019, I would gladly do so. But I can't. And no one can. I'll never forget that day. Getting ready for church, getting a phone call. I'll never forget the scene at Brookdale Hospital. And we can wish we could change things, but we can't. But we can learn something. And one thing that I learn is that life is short. I opened a Christmas letter today and read an account from some dear friends who told me of their grieving over a grandson that was stillborn. And they describe the pain of that tiny little casket. And my friend, whether we have one day, 3 years, 23 years, 63 years, 103 years, life is short. And now is the time to prepare for death. If you're here tonight and you realize you're looking for fulfillment in the wrong places, I urge you to run to Christ. Don't think you'll concern yourself with eternal matters tomorrow. Why not today? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I learned that Jesus fulfills our deepest spiritual need if we will simply trust in Him as Savior. We don't reform. We don't try to get our act together. We don't change. We come to Him as we are. And the Lord Jesus will transform us. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe the good news of the gospel and you will be saved. I may be talking to a believer who has trusted in the Lord Jesus as Savior, but you're not walking with the Lord right now. You've put Him on the back burner of your life. You don't really have time for His word, for His people. Let me challenge you, it's time to get serious about living for Christ and not for self. Why not commit your life to the Lord, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Commit yourself to the Lord, because fulfillment comes in following Him. I'd like to challenge you to believe in the Lord Jesus. And for everyone, all of us grieving, I want to say that Jesus, who is sufficient for our salvation, is sufficient for our grief. Jesus, who satisfies our deepest needs for eternity, can satisfy us in our point of pain and hurt, and he's promised never to leave us or forsake us. I want to say two other things, and then I'll close. If tonight, right now, or in a few minutes, you pray to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins and give you eternal life, or if you have some serious questions, you say, I really don't understand all of this, but I want some answers, we'd like to offer you something. In the foyer, there's a stack of Bibles just like this. I put them there. I want you to take one. If we run out, we can hopefully find some more. But if you trust Christ as your Savior, here's the manual to help you to grow. If you have questions and you want answers from God, I challenge you, take this book and go to the Gospel of John and begin to read it and say, God, I got to have some answers. It's available to you there, and there's helpful literature as well. Please take a Bible, and I'd like to offer that to you. Take one, read it, ask God to show you the truth. I close with this, John 4:13-14. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Will you bow with me, please? Our Father, we praise you that we can be satisfied in Christ. And Lord, you know every heart here tonight because everyone matters to you. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone trying to find fulfillment in life but looking the wrong places, they'll turn to you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'll not point out anyone, I'll not embarrass you, but I'd like to ask this question. Is there anyone who would say, I want to be saved, I want to know Jesus as my Savior? I'm telling him, yes, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for me and he rose again. And God, I'm asking you to save me and give me eternal life. Is there anyone who would just raise your hand and say, that's exactly what I'm telling God tonight? Pray for me. Anyone at all? Is there someone who would say, I've got so many questions. I need answers. I'm struggling. I'm grieving. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Yes. Our Father, thank you that your word is powerful. It's strong. Lord, I pray for your grace, for your sufficiency. To the Dixons, undergird them, fill the voids. Oh God, give them peace. We thank you, Lord, that when someone believes in Christ, there's the promise of eternal life. We praise you for that. Thank you for the reality of heaven, the hope of heaven. We thank you for Joanna's profession of faith in Christ. Lord, I pray that someone else would come to Christ and believe and be saved as a result of her homegoing, that someone else would come to know Jesus. Lord, multiply the impact of her death and make it bear fruit for eternity, and multiply comfort to her mother and father, her brother, and her cousins, and all her extended family, and to the church family as well. We praise you for your goodness, your love, and your mercy. In Jesus' wonderful, powerful, loving name we pray. Amen. Amen.